This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Yeah, it says is being live streamed, mashallah.
Can you switch on your restream to have a seat? It's live in
that. Restream, yes, it's coming on. There's 22 people waiting. All right, mashallah.
Yeah.
All right, for the Zoom add-in, just so that I can get your assistance one more time, inshallah. Take me back to the Zoom and the PowerPoint.
So this, you don't even need this anymore.
Yeah.
So you're going to be here, and you're going to be, Zoom is going to be first, and PowerPoint will be second.
Yeah.
So you can switch between that.
So let's go to there, and we'll do share screen.
Share screen.
Yeah.
Just the PowerPoint.
Yep. Straight to that. And then start the PowerPoint for that. And we should be all right. Not that one. Okay, that's fine.
Whatever you want.
That one.
Just like this.
Yeah,
that's what
they're
seeing. I'm not sure if you want that.
We're gonna
maybe
go to the other
three finger swipe. By the way,
so I wanted if we can go to the hard drive.
Yep,
so we'll take that one.
That one.
Yep. Not that one. This is the one I want. Hold on. Yeah, you can pull that out if you want.
This is the... unmute.
Yeah. All right, we're good.
It is good.
Bismillah. Jazakallah khair. All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. How's everyone doing? Recovered? You're all nusuked out? It's all over? Allahumma laka alhamd. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us, inshallah, in our journey to Hajj. The screen that I want to begin with is this. So what do you guys see?
Oh,
nothing. That didn't make it laptop. What do you see?
You guys are ready for Hajj. The Kaaba's already there.
MashaAllah. What do you see? If somebody who isn't in the room and asked you, what do you see on the screen? What do you see? Any color, any
white.
Most of us, we kind of gravitate to the center, right? We see that white rectangle. That's the first thing you see. Nobody actually says, I see blue. And usually we focus on that little one dot. And in Hajj, if you focus on that one dot, you're not going to enjoy your Hajj. If you focus on the bus that was late, if you focus on the room that wasn't ready, if you focus on people occupying your space, if you focus on going to the bathroom and it's just not tidy, it's not your Australian standard. If you focus on that and you leave everything else, you leave the sights, the sounds, the emotion, the hopes, the dua, then your Hajj is missing what it could be. So my job, and the job of all of us who volunteer to do this, is to take you through a process where we take away all of your rights, all of your privileges. And you become, in one way or another, a kind of subject to being led towards completing your Hajj that is mabrur. Now, the reason why I say we begin by taking away your rights and your privileges is because many of us, alhamdulillah, in whatever we do in our normal life, we're very used to, you could see that even in the chat groups, right? We're very used to linear progression. I click on something, it's supposed to work. I stood in line, I waited my turn. When I got there, what happened? Why is everything, you know, not what I assume that it's going to be? So I can tell you, Hajj is not what you assume it to be unless you've been. It is not as you imagine it. So I want to first begin speaking about emotions. The emotions of Hajj. The first emotion is going to be sadness. SubhanAllah, one of the emotions that I have as I'm going to Hajj, even now as I'm speaking about it, I'm thinking, dreading the moment that I'm going to get out of the car. I'm going to kiss my wife, my daughter, my sons. And we say, okay, assalamu alaikum. I'll see you in 3 weeks. Insha'Allah. Insha'Allah. And you leave them behind. And you're going to there to make dua for who? For many of them, right? And there is, you know, they've been or they haven't been. For some people, they haven't been there yet. And there is this emotion, there's this longing. SubhanAllah, there's people that I wish I could take with me. There may be even friends and family members who were trying to come with you this Hajj. SubhanAllah, there's a sense of sadness. And you will feel that. The second is a sense of fear. SubhanAllah. I've been, alhamdulillah, to many Hajj year after year up until COVID. Year after year, mashallah, grooming people, taking them with us
celebrating the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every year there is fear. You know, what if there's a misstep? What if somebody passes away? What if somebody is ill? Subhanallah, I was in Umrah this year. I had one of my people who passed away, right? Umrah, an uncle, my age. Everybody called him uncle, but he's my age. I was like, oh, subhanAllah, am I in the uncle category? Right? All these young people, they're like, oh, subhanAllah, the uncle passed away. And I looked at his passport. He was like 48 years old. I'm 46. I'm in that uncle zone, right? SubhanAllah. Many of us are in the uncle zone. He arrived with four children, his wife, his father, and mother for Umrah in the holiday period. As he is on the bus to Medina, he had a cardiac arrest. His wife unboarded the bus. His children, his parents continued on to Medina. When they arrived there, we all know that he has passed away. They are not yet informed, right? There's a sense of fear, and I want you to have that sense of fear. In 2015, there were moments of difficulty, moments of hardship, where there are stampedes and people going in from the wrong direction and people not listening to instructions and going out when they shouldn't, when it's ordered that you stay in your tents and all of these kind of things. It's not always easy. So there's always this fear, subhanAllah, since the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, the Hajjatul Wada', the farewell sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his Hajj being just one, was this kind of evidence that, you know, it's something that you and I as Muslims, we look forward to going to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make dua that we return. So there's a sense of fear. And I want you to have that within you, because it will help you, inshallah, in staying safe and listening to instructions and being careful and cautious and, you know, looking both sides before you cross a road and in tawaf and, you know, being aware of yourself. There's also a sense of hope, subhanAllah. Will I be one of those on the day of Arafah who, on account of me standing there, other people around me are also forgiven? You know, subhanAllah. Like some of the Sahaba, they would say, they would look for that person who they think, maybe it's that guy, right? Maybe it's this sister or that brother whose heart is with Allah. They don't look it. You know, you don't have to be a scholar to be chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rahmah of Allah is chosen for whom he knows, whose heart is invested in that process. Will you be that one? Will you be the one in the group, in the tent, on the bus, who is the stability of everybody else? Will you be the one who, from a distance, I just look at you and you understand and you say, oh, I need to help that sister with her bag? You know, will you be that one, right? There's hope. Will I be chosen to be one of those who serve the Hujjaj? There's a sense of love for Allah, subhanAllah. As you begin your journey, you begin to think, subhanAllah, in Australia, thousands of people, subhanAllah, for a lack of better words, competed with one another in the Olympics of clicking, right? You know, seeing some of the brothers writing, Salaamu Alaikum. Some of the brothers writing, I wrote code to make sure that it's clicking. And I was like, these brothers, how do you compete against that? The brothers writing, you know, Python code to click every microsecond. SubhanAllah. It's, you know, it was phenomenal. It's something I've never seen before in my life, never experienced it before. As I stand in front of you, I don't have my visa yet. So I, inshallah, ya Rab, inshallah. And as I stand in front of you, I'm not counted in the Australian group because I put myself in the Canadian group hoping, you know, there'll be room for other people, right? So I'm traveling with Dar es Salaam, with the Canadians, with Americans, and all of us will be together, inshallah. We'll talk about that in the second part. So there is this sense of awe. You are a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not opened the pathway for you, you would not, wallahi, you would not, it's not by how quickly you chose. Sadly, the brother who wrote the code didn't get a spot. You know, it's not just about skill sets and ability and subhanAllah, this is qadr. There's a dear brother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow him to complete his hajj, a brother of 8 passengers. He had 7 people in his group, his friends, his brothers, 4 men, 4 women. They're all with my MCDC group. Click, he got in. 8. Yani, it's unbelievable. That's like climbing Everest. And subhanAllah, one payment until now has not yet arrived. Can you imagine? 2 or 3 days ago, it released again. And he was sitting there, he was looking at his watch. SubhanAllah, got it again. Qadr. Got it again. Got it again. SubhanAllah. Nothing anybody can do. I told Akhi, you just got to sit, look when your payment was made, look by the second and just click. Just keep clicking. And he got it again. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. In your heart, I want you to rejoice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you an opportunity. Wallahi, it's an opportunity. Do not, my dear brother, my dear sister, squander it. So begin to take seriously your preparation for the hajj. Your walking, your nutrition, your sleep, your shopping. We'll do the fiqh of shopping. All the sisters are happy with that, mashallah. Right? Your shopping, your iman, your tahajjud, your 2 rak'ah before fajr, your witr prayer every night. Get yourself ready. Get yourself in that mode of thought. Allah is bringing me forward. SubhanAllah. So that dot that is on the screen is important. What are some of the obligations that makes you from those who want to step forward? Is we come forward as Muslims. We come forward as adults. As you could see this year, they didn't allow anybody under the age of 12. Because, you know, could you imagine if families with 12 and you're like, listen, I'm 70 years old. Why are you, you know, it's not fair, right? So this is one of their motivations for canceling out those under the age of 12. That people are kind of aware of what it is that is the obligation that they're heading forward. When we speak about sanity, we mean that, you know, somebody is understanding of the importance of the rituals, of the ibadah that they're going to perform. And that's usually tied with maturity and age. That there is istata'a, ability. And that istata'a is something that relates to our debts being in order. It doesn't mean that you can't owe money on a home. It doesn't mean that you can't owe somebody else wealth. What it means is that you are not on demand from someone. Someone has not said to you, I need my money before you do anything. You owe this to me as soon as possible. Your hajj is not permitted for you to, you cannot put the right of Allah instead of and before the right of the creation of Allah. Haqqullah is after haqqul ibad. You owe someone, it is your duty to either ask them to defer it or to structure it or to monthly compartmentalize it, whatever it may be. But you cannot go having that with you, that there is safety. Now, the 4 imams, they have different opinions about women traveling, especially unsecured. And I wanted to speak about that from a mahram perspective because it always comes out. In the Al-Imam Abu Hanifa is the only one who makes the demand that the mahram is an essential for a woman going to hajj. And he takes this from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, where a man came and said, oh, Messenger of Allah, my wife has intended hajj and I'm going out to the frontier. You've written me to be on the defense of the southern borders of our community. But she's heading to hajj. Because the Prophet ﷺ, not because the Prophet's going to hajj, okay, everybody go to hajj. Somebody has to defend the home and the land and the farms. And So he says, O Messenger of Allah, I've been written, prescribed, conscribed to be there. But she's going to Hajj. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Hajj ma'aha. You are relieved of your post. Go. So from that is circumstantial evidence. This was circumstantial evidence that the Prophet ﷺ is saying, no, she should not go on her own. The other imams in particular, so Al-Imam Abu Hanifa and an opinion of Al-Imam Ahmad, that a woman shouldn't go on her own. The other imams, they hold the same hadith as evidence as well. They say the Prophet never condemned her. He didn't say, no, 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 she's not allowed to go. Hold her back. The Prophet just recommended for him to go with her. So it could be seen as a sign of chivalry from the Prophet ﷺ. Then they use another hadith as evidence where they say that the Prophet ﷺ says, as it narrated by Adi ibn Hatim, that there will come a time where peace will reign amongst us, that a woman will be able to travel from Hadramaut, the Yemen, to the Kaaba, making Hajj, unescorted, on her own, and she will have no fear. So the Prophet ﷺ envisions that there is going to come a moment where there will be an assurance of safety and travel, that a person is traveling and accompanied, and therefore it is seen as being acceptable. This is the madhab of Imam Malik, the people of Medina, and the madhab of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. And it seems to be al-rajah, the correct opinion to me. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Only thing that is considered in that is iddah. If somebody's husband has passed away or so on, then she should not head out to travel for Hajj. She should defer it for another year. How do we get ready? Well, what are the essentials of our Hajj? What are the things that you're going to do when you go there, right? Think of it backwards. When I go and I'm standing on Arafah, what am I going to ask Allah for? Those are the same things that you begin with now, right? Tawbah, going to ask Allah to forgive me. I'm going to ask Allah to increase for me, to give me barakah in my home, in my family, in my wealth. I'm going to ask Allah to add love in our community to, you know, those are all things that you now begin to invest in your trip prior to going to Hajj. Oh Allah, I want you to protect my health. All right, what do I need to do to protect my health from now? The mindset of Hajj is meant to begin before your departure on that state of Hajj. Previously, we used to say, select the right agency. Select the right guide. You know, there used to be those of us, mashallah, who people say, oh, I want to be in with this man, with this sister. I want to be in their company. Subhanallah, today, as you could see, the circumstances are a little bit different. This doesn't mean that we still don't choose the company that we want to keep when we are there. So assign yourself and align yourself, inshallah, with a condition in your rooms, in your whichever group that you are in, with people that you feel comfortable with. And I will tell you, in Hajj, sometimes you have somebody who is bunking with you, who is not somebody who your heart finds affinity with. So in Hajj, there's no argument. There's no debate. There's no discussion. There's no, but I came first. You came, do you mind if I sit here? There's none of that. It's just you smile. So when you come to me in Jeddah Airport, which you will, may Allah forgive you, from now, you're going to go, Sheikh, when's the bus coming? I'm just going to look at you and say, Labbaik Allah. And this will be our tradition, right? Anytime you see anybody, you know, whether it's directed to you or not, you know, you just see some brothers, you just say, Assalamu alaikum, ya khiz, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. And then it kind of snaps them into a different thought. I've come to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'd be like, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. I'm not sure. We have come for Allah. Take your time. The Kaaba will be there when you get there. It's not going to leave. Right? So those secondary kind of things, begin to think about your company, how you deal with each other. Passports, visas, all of those are going to be very important things. For those, whether you are MCDC, whether you are with Al-Bayt, whether you are with Ad-Dur, if you are a passport holder that requires a visa, somebody to go in and walk it in, I've already taken one now,
please see me, give me your documents. I have a Federal Express booking. They will come to my home to take the package with them, inshallah, tomorrow. So please have that conversation with me today, inshallah. Travel preparation. We're going to talk about that when we do our second session. I brought my Hajj gear, my Hajj pack. I'm going to show you what I'm carrying. This is everything I'm taking for Hajj. That's it. Right? I'm going to show you exactly what you need. What you don't need is more important than what you need. What you don't need. Wallahi, sister, you do not need an iron. Wallahi, wallahi, you do not need an iron. Wallahi, I had one sister, she had an iron. And she said, Sheikh, every time I plug it in, it short circuits. I say, sister, you don't need the iron. Leave the iron, sister. Khalas. All right? All right, travel light. We will talk about that, inshallah. And I will issue you a shopping list, inshallah. Medications, very, very important. The medications that you have been prescribed, and also some medications of things you will need that will definitely run out over there. So, and I'll just point out to a couple of those just quickly, inshallah. So the things that you are not going to find there, before you get there, you will not find these. As you arrive there late, as we are arriving there, you are not going to find hydrolyte. You're not going to find electrolytes. You're going to walk every pharmacy, sold out, brother, sold out, brother, sold out, brother. And there's no shipments coming because there's no truck access into Mecca, right? So take ones that are soluble. You just put them in. Don't take the powder. It gets a little bit messy. Take multivitamins, but also take specifically electrolytes, inshallah. I highly recommend that you buy magnesium tablets for the cramps because you're going to be walking and dehydrating. You need to over-supplement your magnesium, inshallah. Azithromycin, chest, you know, everybody talks about the Hajji cough, right? Everybody, you know, you're in the desert. There's lots of people around you. There is air conditioning that's blasting from one side of the room. It is a breeding ground for upper respiratory infections. Speak to your doctor now and say, I'm going to Hajj. You know about the Hajji cough? He'll smile. He'll say, yes, of course, right? Ask him to prescribe something for you because you will find it difficult to gain access to that there. Asthma. Puffers. So if you're asthmatic, yes, my brother. So just speak to your doctor and say, I'm going to Hajj. I'm worried about the chest cough. He'll have it. And I'll put a list of these in the shopping list, inshallah. So I'll send it all to the groups. All right? Zithromycin, all of that, inshallah. Brothers, we will talk about this, inshallah. You are going to have chafing, right? Your skin is going to become red, then it is, unless you kind of listen to what I say to you and purchase what I ask you to purchase, inshallah. If you go walking in the desert, where it's hot, where it's moist, and where it is constant friction, so even if you just, you know, just rub your hands now, imagine for some who are with Al-Bayt, you're walking, you know, 8 kilometers, right? Or you're doing tawaf, and when we went, they said tawaf is closed downstairs. You need to do it from the first floor. Instead of the circuit being 800-900, you're doing now at 2.1, right? That's just how it is. لبيك الله. You're going to look at me, Sheikh Yahya. I say, لبيك اللهم لبيك. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. That's just the reality. So you are going to need anti-chafing cream, inshallah. I did put up a number of times a complete dedicated kit. Wallahi, you don't have to buy it. I'm not getting rich from it. There's no money in it. I'm just telling you, this is what I use. It's self-contained, you have your deodorant, you have all those kind of things. It's easy for you to have it all in one thing on your carry-on. Because we're landing Jeddah what? In Ihram, right? You need it in your carry-on, inshallah. Even when you put that, even if you are Vaseline'd up, I recommend you buy a high quality, Bioderma, whatever. It is called Ultra Soothing Cream for irritated, sensitive skin, repairs, purifies, and irrigates, or what is it? Soothes irritation and relieves itching. You need it. I have a new one for myself. Huh? You're going to need it also, sisters, for your jubbas. Make sure you buy cotton, not polyester. Polyester is going to rub you here and here and here, and it will be very, very uncomfortable. Get something linen, inshallah, like what I'm on. By the way, this is my hajj gear. So when we are walking outside ihram, this is me. Athletic pants, light, breathy, linen, cotton, right? Finally, hydrazole. This is for broad spectrum antifungal, anti-inflammatory cream. Right? Make sure, and these will be in the list of items, inshallah. Arrival into Jeddah, we're going to fly into it, inshallah, which means that we are, okay, it's actually not true, but I want to protect your Hajj. All right? So if I'm doing Hajj on my own, or if I'm doing Umrah on my own, I have no problem arriving in Jeddah like this and going into the airport and putting on the ihram. Because I believe that the miqat of the people of Jeddah is at the airport for those who are coming in that way. But I don't want you to say, Sheikh Yahya, after clicking for 17 days, you ruined my Hajj. Yeah, I'm not going to. So I'm going to do what I'm going to, you know, what I'm going to do it for you. But I tell you that lots of the imams, because Jeddah Airport is built, but people just don't want, psychologically, they're not ready for that. The new airport is built just at the boundary of that. Like they planned it like that. But it's your first Hajj. I'm not going to have any discussions with it. You are going to land in Ihram, inshallah. And we'll talk about that when we're in Malaysia. By the way, I have a big surprise for you in Malaysia. A good brother coming to visit us, somebody you will enjoy time with them, inshallah. Yeah, inshallah, inshallah. All right, so our miqat is Jeddah Airport as we arrive into it. An hour before, you will need to make your talbiyah of ihram. And we'll talk about that, inshallah. The miqat locations surround the haram. So let's talk about ihram. I brought two ihrams with me, mashallah. What is this called? It's a tower, right? It's ihram. Is this the ihram? No. It's my declaration that I'm in a state of ihram that makes these towels a symbol of me being in ihram. Does it have to look like this? Like, can it be something not white, for example? It can be, yes, yeah. Does the ihram have to be unstitched? Yes. What does that mean? I see a lot of stitching in this, by the way. Because it's stitched here, right? Stitched at the edges. This concept of non-stitched is a bad translation, right? In Arabi, the Prophet ﷺ said, that it does not have khayyat, meaning mish mukhayyat, meaning not tailored. It has nothing to do with stitching. So when you hear people saying, no, brother, you can't wear those shoes, it has a stitch. You say, no, we don't have a problem with the thread. The problem is that the clothing, it shouldn't be clothes. So if I took this shirt off, I'm not going to, and I just opened the buttons, and I just say, I'm arriving into Jeddah, I went into the bathroom, my ihram got soiled. Something happened. All I have is this. So I took my top one, I made it the bottom, and I took this and I put it on top without tying it. I just wrapped it. Is it ihram? Yes. No problem. My wife has an extra abaya, hati. Right? Put it on. She's got an extra scarf. Khalas. Right? if you go to fight to get into the black stone and you lose yourself, you're going to get something from someone, all right? Don't go.
We'll talk about that later, inshallah.
All right? So this isn't, this is called ihram because it's a symbol of ihram. There is a brother, Jazahullah Khair, and I have his details with me, who supplies these. MashaAllah, his grandfather, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him, was the president of the Hajj group for India for maybe 40 years. And this brother who lives a little bit before Armadale, he said, anybody who comes asking for ihram, they will get the first one free. He doesn't want. And the second one is at cost. The second one is at cost. So I remember when I put a poll, how many people need? So people said, we need, inshallah. I'll put his details. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. He has one condition, that you remember him when? In Arafah. You're wearing his ihram, he gave it to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. All right? May Allah grant him khayr and barakah. Allahumma ameen. That's the spirit of Hajj, right? By the way, the brother is also going to Hajj with us. Mashallah. He was a clicker. Inshallah. All right. Yeah? So only men have to wear this. Sisters, mashallah. You know, people, they always talk about sisters are disadvantaged in Islam. They've never been to Hajj. Wallahi, you are going to wear whatever you want to wear. Whatever shoes you want to, yeah, mashallah, it's smooth. The brothers, welcome to Towel Town, mashallah. All right? We're going to talk about the how to put on the ihram and the talbiyah. There is a different talbiyah that we make for different occasions in our Hajj. Come on through, my brothers. Things that are forbidden in ihram. What are, by the way, all these, I will send them to your, to our groups, inshallah. You'll have all access. I'll send you one of my books. It's called Reborn, The Sacred Journey to Hajj. I'll send you all of the maps, everything in there. You will have more than you need, inshallah. All right? And I'll create a Google Drive that if you don't want them on your phone, you can grab them. I'll send you the map of Mecca and its roads and Mina offline that you just keep in your phone in case you lose. Yeah, in case you lose your signal, which happens in Hajj, inshallah. What are the things that are forbidden? Obviously, sins. And those are sins that is relative. You know, sins, it's just meant, it's meant to be general. It's meant to be open-ended. The Prophet ﷺ tells us to be cautious. So the very word ihram comes from the word harrama, something haram. So now in your mind, you begin to think about what is happening around you, that things that are normally halal for me, I need to be cautious with. MashaAllah, those lovebirds, husband and wife, MashaAllah. When you are in tawaf, there is no holding hand. Ta'ali, habibti. I'm going to tell, MashaAllah, chivalry, and this is the... La, she can hold on to you because you don't want to lose her, but there's no romantic walking in the sand dunes of Arabia. Right? There's no Habibi Albi, none of that, right? None of this, right? There is no quarreling, dispute. And subhanAllah, you are going to be in very confined spaces with people that are generally unknown to you. The food is not your delicacy. It's good food, inshallah, but it may not be to your taste. You will be dehydrated. I will continue to force you to drink. I will continue throwing tablets in your zemzem, in your water. Drink, drink. I'm sorry. No, you need to drink this. No, drink it in front of me. Right? Because my main job is to keep you healthy for you to complete your Hajj. Right? You're going to feel irritable. I'm going to wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning on the eighth day. I'm going to say, we're going to Mina. Oh, Sheikh, but I thought, what, right now? We have to go now. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Sheikh, I forgot my, labbaik Allahumma. Right? There's a bus. Don't be that one. 46 people are sitting saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, and you come on, you're like labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Right? Be considerate for each and everyone, inshallah. No quarreling, no dispute. No raised voice. No side eye. It's a phenomenal effort. For men, we wear anything tailored is forbidden. Wearing shoes with socks, wearing shoes that cover above the ankle are forbidden. Getting married, I don't know what happens in Hajj, but you find that it gets strange sometimes, mashallah. Getting married or performing the nikah, right? Using perfumes. I want to highlight that word. Using, what's the word? Not scent. So just say I give you a tangerine, a mandarin, and you open it and your fingers smell like, mashallah, mandarin. Is this a problem? No, because the scent of it is not applied as a perfume, right? But if you buy a mandarin body mist, and you say, Sheikh, I'm just sprucing myself with mandarin body mist, that's a totally different story, right? So are you allowed to use soap? Yes. Should you use botanical garden, the heavily scented? No. Can you use something that has a little bit of, it was made from natural ingredients, aloe vera or honey or things like that, that have a scent in them, but it's not meant to perfume you with it. Is that allowed? Yes, right? So there will be that balance, inshallah. So use of perfumes on your body, on your clothing, before you are in ihram is prohibited. We are not permitted to hunt. Or even, back at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, to find food, they had to hunt. So in Hajj, there's no hunting. And you can't even indicate to somebody who's not in Hajj, look over there, right? That's part of hunting. And there is no spousal intimacy, not just sexual activity, but there is no overt intimacy, the hand-holding and the cuddling and all of that, haram, right? Things permissible. Taking a bath, please take a bath. Wallahi, take a bath, take a shower, get yourself ready, get yourself refreshed. No problem with that, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ يَقْدُوا تَفَثَهُمْ, that after the Hajj, you're going to give yourself a good clean, no problem. But in Hajj, you should take your ghusl, you should take a shower, you should refresh yourself with water. You can use something that is not going to perfume you when you're in the state of ihram. You are permitted to change your ihram. And, having more than one. So you will travel from Jeddah with at least one. And you will complete your umrah, inshallah, with one. You can purchase more over there, or you can purchase from here, from our brother, as I mentioned, inshallah. Covering the face or nose because of dust and because you're asthmatic or because you're ill is permissible. Yes, my brother.
Regarding taking bath, are you allowed to use soap on the body?
If it is soap that is not perfumed.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 So goat's milk soap and other things like that, acceptable.
Yeah, there is another way, you have to be careful that you should not, itch or apply something that.
Yes. So we'll get to the hair in a second. So the hair is to remove it, manicure yourself. You're not meant to manicure yourself and make yourself look extra special. That's not the intent. Yes. 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 No problem. Anything medical, bismillah, no problem. Anything medical, medical mask, knee brace, back brace, for brothers or sisters who are incontinent. Maybe some, the bladder doesn't hold. Or, no problem. You can wear the undergarment that holds that. No problem. All of that. If there is a medical reason, no problem with that. And you can clarify that with me privately, inshallah. Covering the head forgetfully is acceptable. You're on the bus, you're exhausted, the air condition is coming, and you put your ihram up like this, you forgot. And then your wife, she looks at you, she goes, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. I go, oh, astaghfirullah, Sheikh. I say, you're fine. Don't worry about it, right? You're not wearing a baseball cap. You're not wearing your hat. Looking at oneself in the mirror. I had one brother, he said, Sheikh, astaghfirullah, they didn't take the mirrors out of the room. I said, why? It's a hotel. Yeah, why are they going to take them? No, you're not allowed to see yourself. And I said, where is this? It's some cultures have those kind of things. No problem with that, inshallah. No problem with smelling the perfume, right? You walk by Abdul Samad al-Qurashi or something, it's like, mashallah, it smells good, no problem, right? Wearing a belt, wearing a watch, eyeglasses, sunglasses, your ring. Leave all expensive jewelry behind. Leave all expensive, put it in a safety deposit box, give it to a friend, lock it in a safe. Do not take expensive jewelry with you, please. Be very, very careful if you wear eyeglasses, bring a replacement. SubhanAllah, I had one sister, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept her hajj. She had the hajj of like 10 people. Because maybe on the first day in Mina, we'll talk about the bathroom situation. It's just, you know, the ground Asian Arabi toilets. And as she was going in, she was removing it and her glasses fell. Khalas. And she did not have her pen. She goes, Sheikh, I have the prescription. I said, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You know, subhanAllah. She held on to another sister for tawaf, for arafah, for everything. Bring an extra pair. Bring an extra pair. If you don't have an extra pair, make an extra pair. Just leave it in your backpack, right? It will happen more often than not, right? Bring with you those things that are essentials. Can you wear a belt? Can you use a rope? Yes. To be honest, there were some of the Sahaba who disliked adding that extra rope or that extra belt. They said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do it. But at that time, this was a natural attire for them. And it's not a natural attire for many of us today. And the majority of the ulama, in fact, consensus, you would say in our time, is that it is acceptable, if not recommended, inshallah. Using an umbrella is fine. Sitting under shade is fine. Poisonous insects, things like that. I don't want to scare anyone, but yes. Mosquitoes, flies, using a spray to get them out of your room or in the desert. No problem with that, inshallah. Permissible things for our sisters. Yes, they are allowed to wear shoes, socks, no problem. We are going to be making the hajj that is tamattu'. Tamattu' means that we're going to enjoy ourselves. So we're going to arrive, yes? No, don't put it on yourself, but spray it, inshallah, right? Tamattu' is that we are going, the Prophet ﷺ did not do tamattu', he did qiran. But he asked them to do tamattu. It is the default position of those who come to Hajj that we arrive ready to offer the sacrifice and also ready to do umrah and separate it by a time of being in normal state and then putting on ihram again on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. This is going to be what all of us in generality will do. But la qadar Allah. Sometimes things change. Maybe a flight is delayed. Maybe you are held back. All of a sudden, instead of us arriving on the 4th or 5th, Allahu A'lam, what happens? All of a sudden, we're landing in Jeddah on the 7th. I'm going to say to you, all of us, our niyyah is now Hajj Qiran. We're not going to make a full Umrah and exhaust you. We're going to do half of our Qiran. We're going to do our Tawaf. Stay in Ihram, go direct to Mina, inshallah, and complete our Hajj, right? But in general, we're going to do Hajj Tamattu'. That will become clear with the documentation and other things that I send you and we talk about, inshallah. Entering Mecca, humility, talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika laka. All of that is the essential. The freeing your heart of any attachment other than Allah and living in the moment. This is why you are there. Finding your place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming to the gates and remembering each and every step is meant to remind you of something in life. So when we make the ihram, and as you put it on, it is to remind you that you will be shed of your normal clothes. And you will be clothed in simple attire. As you make the talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, it's to remind you that you are the weak creation of Allah and He is the master who you turn to seeking help. As you come to the miqat and you make this declaration that now I'm thinking clearly of you, O Allah, it is to remind you there is other stations in life that you're going to pass through. You're going to pass through other gateways. You're going to leave this dunya through a gateway into another. And Allah uses the same word in the Quran to describe our death. Everybody has waqtin maw'ud. Everybody has a time and miqat that they're going to arrive at between ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you first behold the Kaaba, know that lil bayt rabbun yahmi, that the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sacred to us as Muslims. And that the benefactor of it, the guardian of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it is a focal point of unity, that you are one of many. That you are going to be enshrouding the Kaaba with your dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are not a minority. You know, sometimes we see ourselves as a minority, but you are a part of a huge ummah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you first glance at the Kaaba, even if you've been to Umrah, when it is for Hajj, when you are there for this purpose, it has a different feel to it. So have a dua in your heart. Have something that you've come with. And those of you, inshallah, who are with me in my group, and as we go down, I'll give you a little bit of time to just give your heart and a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perform your tawaf, that the beginning and end is one and the same, which is our life. We begin weak, we grow in strength, and we come back to where we started, weak again before Allah. We begin weak and unknowing of the world, and as we ascend into power and strength, eventually we fall away and our strength and our success leaves us and is debilitated. Yes, my sister. None that is established from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I will send you, inshallah, I have sent it already on the group, how to construct your dua, how to think of what you want to say. Yeah, it's not established as being a Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, between you and Allah, you want to magnify your place with Allah. You want to show Allah your appreciation for standing there at this time doing this ibadah. May Allah accept you. None. There's nobody tells us what's important other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he didn't mention anything. The only thing we know in tawaf and in seeing the Kaaba is Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar, right before we come to the black stone. Everything else is silent from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to speak about Umrah shortly. And before I begin that, I wanted to just end about Ihram. And I'll get some of the brothers, inshallah, who haven't put on Ihram before to come and try it out. So for those who are watching Ihram, anybody who has never put on Ihram before, mashallah, our special brothers. So I'll take some time with you, inshallah. So some of us are horizontally challenged like myself, right? Some are not, mashallah. How do you measure? So if you hold this, you want to measure your chest area, right? And then you let this part go, right? Come up under your shoulders. So now I'm holding it here. So I've measured. This is my chest area, right? So now I'm holding here. I bring this edge to here. Easy? Yes? Even you experts who put on ihram before, I have your approval? Mashallah. Then you close it. Okay? You bring it in. Roll down. Done. Halas.
Even with this, you don't need a belt. Even with this, I'm going down the bus deck. Look, mashallah, full coverage. Very important, right? You're going up the bus. Oh, full coverage. Alhamdulillah. Right? Very simple. Very simple. The length of your chest area, shoulder to shoulder. Hold at that tip. Fold it. Do it again. Roll it down. Let's do it one more time, inshallah. Unshare the screen. MashaAllah. All right. So you hold one length, shoulder to shoulder. Keep the grip there. Bring the edge. And you could do it from either side. Hold it there together. Now I have this little fluttery bit. This is important. Don't lose this one. This is what you see people dragging usually. But they're not professionally certified like you, mashallah. Bring it like that. You got it in front of you. Easy. Fold it in. Right? Begin to roll down. Done. You're good to go. Now, I will demand of you, inshallah, that you have a belt. You can bring your own belt. It can just be a plain business belt, no problem. I usually recommend that you have a pouch. This will be the place that I ask you to kind of keep a little bit of money. I want you to make it, you know, somewhat tight. You can tuck it under so that people's hands don't go in. By the way, there are people whose purpose of Hajj is not Hajj. And you do find that there will be people who come, may Allah forgive us in them, who are professional beggars, pickpockets, who are waiting for honest-looking Australians. MashaAllah, look at this Australia with all this yellow $50 notes, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, inshallah, right? So be careful with that. Having it on the side, no good. Having it front of you, right? In front of you. Get one that's big enough that you can have your phone, you can have your hotel key, you can have your energy bar, you can have your small water, bottle of water, right? Everything is kind of in here. Have your Band-Aids. Have your lozenger, have jelly beans for a little bit of sugar kick if you're tired, right? Have a little bit of a kit that is here. And you can find these quite affordable. Yes, my brother.
Sheikh, can we have a side bag instead of the belt?
You can have a side bag. The only problem with the side bag is that it's on your side. And because you're always fiddling with your ihram on the top, and sometimes you'll have somebody holding on to you and things like that. This is my preference. But yes, certainly a side bag. Backpack, I will show you my backpack, definitely. But don't put in it passports, wallets, because they cut it from the bottom. Right? Yeah. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. The top. Now, you'll notice this one looks different. But that's just because I'm a professional. You won't have that luxury unless you can find two different ones. So this is a very thin, because it's hot, very thin. This is my top one, right? So the top one, really simple. And our brother, mashallah, who I mentioned to you, Jazallah Khair, he'll have some of these, I hope, as well for you, inshallah. You just want to drape it. Now, you can put a pin here. No problem. You can put a pin. There's so it doesn't, you know, fly off. The easiest thing to do is take this corner in your bag area, in the belt, hook it under. So now it's secure. So you have one side secure. You can also secure the second side under here. And that way you kind of feel comfortable. You know, you can reach for things, you can hold things, buy things. You can access your bag. You can cover your bag with it. This is the easier kind of approach. Other people, they tuck this inside. I found that a little bit restrictive for me because I'm horizontally challenged. But for those of you who feel comfortable with that, no problem, inshallah. All right? Generally speaking, you will want to have some room, some ventilation, some air. You will want to have more than one that you can change in and out of. You will definitely need two ihram for the duration of your Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah. Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah, 3 days, two ihram at minimum. Two ihram at minimum, inshallah. Any questions about that? Putting that on for the brothers? Yes. Usually 2.1. 2.1. You can gain, like, but you'd have to go like to a Muslim country, like you'd have to order. In Mecca, you can find larger ones. You can find larger ones. All right, we're going to take our first break here, inshallah. When we come back, we'll talk about the Umrah, the process of Hajj, the days of Hajj, and we'll do some practical demonstrations as well, inshallah. For those brothers who want to come down and just try on the ihrams, give it a go. For those who have not put it on, I'm very happy to mentor you in it. But we will be nearly 400, 500 of us in Kuala Lumpur. We're going to have a seminar together. And who wants to know who the guest is? So we're going to have Dr. Zakir Naik come and share. Oh, you have Yahya Ibrahim and you got all the... What's going on, man? Allahu Akbar. What's going on with you guys? Inshallah. Yes. I don't mind you having one of those as well, but I would say a bag that you can put inside. So one of the one, where are they? There they are. Personally, for the brothers, I don't normally like these ones. I don't like the leather ones. The leather stretches, and it begins to smell in the weather because it's humid. You know how leather can some. So my person, maybe for Umrah, okay, but for Hajj, I would say stay away from these ones. This is from a company called Hajj Safe. So, because the brother, mashallah, he's been doing Hajj a number of times, he knows some of the pitfalls. So he's made uncuttable. Yeah, and may Allah, you know, forgive our brother, subhanAllah. It's a tragedy, really. But it's more difficult to get there now, isn't it, right? So this one is what I would recommend, something slim like this. They sell them in Kmart and things where you can wear it inside your dress that has your passport. If it's not waterproof, one of the essential items that we all have to have are, say, about 20 of these cling wrap bags, passports in here, all the things that you don't want to have a little bit of moisture and things, keep them in there, inshallah. But this is something that I do recommend, a little bag for brothers and sisters under your clothing, inshallah, for your passports and essential items. Yes, my brother.
Can they passport and other
things? You can, and I would recommend it. But at times, when you go down, you need to do currency exchange, or you need to get a mobile number, or there are times you're going to need to have your passport. There are times that you're going to need to have them, keep them secure. Credit cards, things like that, sometimes you have them with you. Yes, my brother. No, they don't take passports anymore, for what we're hearing. So last year, they didn't take passports. It seems like they're going to leave passports with people. There are, may Allah, so when we come back, I'll talk about what kind of documentation I carry with me. So I want you to have high grade quality photocopies of your driver's license, Medicare, 100 points ID, along with your passport. You'd be surprised how many people have to go to Riyadh to get a new passport from the embassy. It's just the reality, you know, you drop it, your bag is gone, you know, something like that. So make sure you have backup copies of everything that you need. Backup copies, one in each bag, one in your travel pouch when you're in transit. Always. Medicare card, birth certificate, whatever it is that you feel will meet the 100-point identification, that you can walk into the embassy and they say, yes, we know who you are. We're able to identify you with these things. Money, how much money should you bring? How much money do you think you need? Other than gifts, you need about $60 a day. It's not much. $60. Yeah, $60. I would say you want about $600 for your whole thing. The reason I say that is you want to be charitable, right? So usually when I talk about money, people are like, oh, well, am I going to use all that? So you want to be, as you are going up into the Mount of Safa, and you see this young, or there's elderly, young brother, who's from whichever country. He has his mom with him. And he's trying to get a wheelchair. And he's got 200 riyal. And the man is saying 500. And he's like, I don't have 500. And his mom, she's got me. And you just smile and say, SubhanAllah. You know, I'm that guy. I'm the one who's going to solve this problem. $60? I got it. Here you go. Done. And you walk away in the mix of a million people. You don't know his name. You don't know who they are. You know nothing of them. But that $60 a day came in handy. SubhanAllah. Right? So think of the penalties that we have as Muslims. So just say you made a mistake, and we're going to talk about the rules of Umrah and Hajj now. If you make a mistake, how do you fix your mistake? You have to feed people in Mecca, the poor people of Mecca. Why? Because this is how we fix things in our life. So if you want, I suggest you at minimum $60 a day, other than your gifts and your, you know, I want to carry extra ajwa dates and all of that. Leave all of that. Other than food you're going to buy yourself or others, you know, think about having $50 to $60 a day. Portion some of that for your infaq, giving, and return back reborn with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah.
How about the qurban?
Qurban with MCDC is built in. Al-Bayt, they will usually outsource it to somebody who will get it done for them, inshallah. There's usually... the reason sometimes people don't confirm it early is they want to make sure that it gets done early in the morning. So they want to see all of the live animals that came, which company has more, which company has been, because it's a lottery system. So all of the butchers of this company, oh, they're the ones who are from 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. They're like, okay, that's the one we want. We want our qurban done early, right? So that when that draw will be done, Allah will. So sometimes people wait until a little bit later.
So the qurban fee is already there now.
MCDC, yes. Yeah, inshallah. Yes, my brother.
How many total money we need, just we require for spend the money for the Hajj? $1,000 for the qurbani or other things?
So I don't know which package you're with. So if it's MCDC, you don't need anything for qurbani unless you have a violation.
We are going to apply.
Al-Bayt, so that will be additional, and they will give you a number, this is where you do it, or this is the machine you pay it at, it's because it's all automated now, right? You're just going to tap a card, and you can use a card, you can, yeah. I suggest to you, don't change any money from here. You can go with your Australian money, you'll be able to find exchanges there in Mecca, don't exchange in Jeddah. The best exchange is going to be putting your card in a machine and taking money out. That'll be the best exchange that you actually get. So when you get there, usually at the airport, I pull out 1500 riyal. And I just keep 1500 riyal with me. ATM. That'll be the easiest. Now, so I say about $60 a day for about 10 days, 15 days, looking about $1,000. Yes, my brother. Yes. Stay away from anybody who asks. And, you know, you will, yeah, there's anybody who asks, anybody who sits next to you and says, Assalamu alaikum, I'm from here, I lost my passport, I need to go to Riyadh. Nothing. Jazalabayk Allahumma labayk. Nothing. Right? Any kids, any elders, any injured, nothing. Nothing. Don't give anybody anything. The ones that you will see who need it are normally the ones not asking. Just like I described, he's asking the brother, please look at her. She's on the ground. She solved that problem. In the walk from Mina, subhanAllah, a lot of people aren't able to make the walk back. So sometimes you just, you rent it, you push them, somebody else pushes them. MashaAllah. Yes, my brother. Yes. No, should be there. Yeah, should be there, inshallah. Yeah. Yes, my brother. Yes. So I highly recommend travel insurance for your baggage, for all of that kind of thing. Highly recommend it. There is no religious objection to it. It's a takaful kind of system. Everybody puts money into a pot. That pot is used by some people and others don't use it, right? So I have my travel insurance. It's a family one-year plan. As long as you're traveling for a duration that's less than 1 month, it covers ticketing, hotels, lost baggage, all of that kind of thing. Recently, when I went to Aqsa and Umrah, some bags did not come. Some our ordeals. They were with me, mashallah. I claim back something like $1,200 US for 3 days. You will gain back the inconvenience of that. So definitely make use of it, inshallah. Yeah. Multi-visit Hajj insurance or travel insurance. Yes, sister. Yeah, so if you go, you can sometimes in the bank, they will ask that. And sometimes the street side is so busy that the best thing for you to do is to go, and I'll show you where it is. It's in the Undercroft. Nobody goes there because nobody knows, because everybody has to show a passport. So if you don't want to wait in the heat for 30 minutes to change $200-$300, and you want to go 2-3 minutes, you just show them that, inshallah. Yeah. All right, let's take, yes, no, well, of course, yes.
In the package, sorry, it's not, I'll wait for
MC. Yeah, no problem.
You mentioned, in the website mentioned that you will have a SIM card. So is it included in SIM card that we can use it in our mobile?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I can ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what usually happens is that what that means is they will have somebody in the hotel. Every SIM card requires your fingerprint and passport. No, there's no just here you go. Everybody gets a SIM card. Yeah. So you will be able to get one without having to stand in the lines. That's so we make that service to make it easier. That you don't have to, yeah. So in the hotel, inshallah, when we get there, you'll be able to process that. Yeah, it'll be easier, inshallah. They'll have a little kiosk and somebody there who's dedicated for our people, inshallah. Yeah. All right. Yes, doctor. Yes. No. No. There is no possibility of it. Like there's no possibility of a bus coming there. And I'll show you photos to show you why. Because it's a migration of 2.6 million people down four roads, all heading towards the Jamarat. And there's no possibility of sending the bus there
And then traveling down, there's no other, all the roads, all the tunnels, it's all people walking. So what there is are young Saudi boys, young Yemeni boys with wheelchairs that they bought in Bin Dawood for 60 riyal, who will charge you an exorbitant amount to push you. And it's a good service, mashallah. If you are adventurous like I was when I was young, you can get on the motorcycles. I don't know if you're adventurous. So you'll find young people on motorcycles, they say, hop on 60 riyal. And then they do a wheelie and you hold on for dear life. And they go and come 1,000 times taking people, evading police. And, you know, it's an adventure. And you'll see all of the ulama on motorcycle. You'll see me on a motorcycle at one point. Right? So when I come to visit you at Al Bayt, which I will inshallah, I'm not going to walk there. You will hear and Yahya comes to your tent, inshallah. But then there's, of course, the Hajj. You can try the Hajj mobiles, where it's, you know, GMCs, Yukon vehicles that are built for 7 passengers that have 24. And you can sit on the roof or hold on the side. And it moves, not from Mina, but towards the Haram as you exit Jamarat, towards the Kaaba. You can try to find that. But I would say to you, remain with the group, inshallah. Get somebody to push, or you push, or the, you know, and there will be people who will facilitate that. It's the reason we sent those forms multiple times. I know it's aggravating. You know how you got more the form? I already filled this, ya akhi. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. I already gave you my detail. But every system requires a different data entry point. So we don't want you to wait in the hotel, in the lobby, in Ihram, when we're going down to Umrah in 2 hours. I'd rather you go straight up. So I want to do pre-check-in for you. How do I do that? I need a copy of your passport. But it can't be from this system. We need it in this way. And the passport has to be ma'raf shay. Okay. Send it to them again. Everybody does it. The airline, it's a charter flight. We want to assign everybody seats so that you're sitting next to your spouse. It's not randomized. So we ask you again, can you please tell us who are your... So there's all these different, you know, things, subhanAllah, that require a little bit of patience. But if you put in the special needs, even if you are, alhamdulillah, relatively well, but you presume... I can walk maybe for the first kilometer, but afterwards I'm going to find trouble, then put in the special needs, this is something that I will require. I would rather anticipate, we would rather anticipate rather than be told at the time, inshallah. All right, let's take our first break, and we will come back at 3:30. We'll give a little bit of time for Salatul Asr and Wudu and questions. Personally, inshallah, and you can come down here and take a look at some of the things that I have on display. It'll make it easier for all of us. بإذنالله تعالى أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. And the ones online, it'll be a new link, inshallah, in 30 minutes. بإذنالله.
Yes.
Jazakallah.